Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode. I've been going through a lot in my private personal life too. So I don't know, I'm coming with a different state of mind, different mindset, and we'll see how it goes as we continue, you know, from our previous episode, which is part two of, you know, from the book The Antichrist. I'm really talking of like the consciousness, how the Bible represents the human body instead of an external God. But you know, as I always mentioned, I believe everything's interconnected, no such thing as coincidence, and that's why there's the universal law of oneness, divine oneness. That's something I believe, although there's a lot of things, you know, more in depth that I think over the past few days I've also contemplated, listened to some different things that kind of, you know, shows or, you know, told me different aspects that I was also thinking, oh, some of it seems true, kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, I'll kind of see through it. So let's continue from where we stopped the other time. So we're from at the book The Antichrist by Dr. George W. Carey. And this part is talking about part two. Although the previous episode, I read two paragraphs from part two, and so I think I'll start from paragraph three. Okay. This seed, having the odor of fish, was called Jesus, from ictos, Greek for fish, and nun, or nun, Hebrew for fish. Thus, Joshua, the son of Nun, I am the bread of life. I am the bread that came down from heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Okay, for one, obviously we know where the author is heading with this. So, you know, to actually talk about including the meaning of like the name of Jesus, right? It says here, the seed. Okay, just mentioning the seed came from like the previous paragraph, talking about how there's this seed that comes out every 28 and a half day, when the sun is, you know, is at its birth. This germ inside our body is born, you know, in or out of the solar plexus, right? So it's kind of talking about how this seed represents Jesus being born, and you know, eventually came out from the manger. And this seed is taken up by nerves of like the gastric nerve or the vagus nerve or the pneumogastric nerve, and becomes this fruit of the tree of life. And eventually, you know, talking about circulation, or talking about, you know, if it's bad, you know, what are the bad things. So there's talk about how no drunkard can inherit the kingdom of heaven, talking about, you know, how if we have too much gluttony, or we're consumed by alcohol, you know, it wouldn't work. And so this seed, having an odor of fish, called Jesus. It's kind of funny, odor of fish. I'm not too sure for that, but there are some videos talk about how fish represents Jesus, mainly because of like the idea of fish, or even the story about how he told the fishermen to you know, just pull out their nets into the water, and boom, so many fishes came out. Or even the story of the two loaves of bread and five fishes, right? So that's famous. But I never really thought about the odor of fish and how that relates to Jesus. I'll probably need to do more research on that. But okay, yeah, that's one. And here it says Jesus from ictos, because ictos is the Greek for fish, and nun is the Hebrew for fish. That's why they mentioned how Joshua is considered the son of Nun. But yeah, even in the Bible, when they talk about the genealogy, right, there's always meanings behind the names as well. There was one that I did study long time ago from a pastor about the genealogy of Enoch, because Enoch is in the Bible is the only person to ever walked with God and was just taken up, you know, like raptured by God, and he's like the only one other than, I think, who was it, Elijah or Elisha, who never died. And that's why I kind of believe a little bit on the Book of Enoch, but I haven't read it too much. I'm not particularly a reader type of person. I love reading articles, like short articles, but I don't like fully big books. I get distracted. Oh well. But yeah, that one is one. And how there was, yeah, this pastor was talking about how Enoch, from the names of the genealogy, somehow it kind of brings back on how what was gonna happen to Enoch, or like what happened to the his ancestor or the descendants as well, because some of the ancestors or descendants had some stories, right? And kind of showcase of how eventually, you know, led to the development of like the story of Enoch. And that, to me, why I also believe like in the names, in the hidden meanings behind the languages as well. So it's pretty surprising here, you know, how fish is nun, you know, in Hebrew. But yet, you know, in here he's talking about how, yeah, like it talks about the bread of life. I'm the bread that came down, daily bread. I'm just not so sure how bread and fish correlates that much, you know, very specifically, other than the story of the two loaves of bread and five fishes. I mean, other than both of them are food. Yeah, that's all I can really relate. I can't really relate how the Greek or Hebrew meaning of like fish relates to the bread, other than their food, indicating most likely, or okay, what I'm further interpreting from this is that this seed here inside our body that comes out, you know, from the solar plexus, is Jesus, is the bread of life, becoming life. And eventually, because the part one actually talks about how it has to go up through, you know, the spine, spinal cord, and eventually to our pineal gland, right, which is the pinnacle of the temple. And also talk about how there's that precipitation of the breath of life. And you know, when I think about breath of life or bread of life, maybe it's talking about that. And here it says, the bread that came down from heaven. It's not really, you know, coming up. So temple, heaven, a lot more meaning to go into it. But yeah, let's go to the next paragraph actually. So the fruit of the tree of life, therefore, is the fish bread, of which thou shalt not eat on the plain of animal or Adam, which is called the earth dust of the earth plain. But to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the fruit of the tree of life, because he saved it, and it returned to him in the cerebellum, the home of the spiritual man, the ego. This one, very contextual. Here it says the fish bread. So the fruit of the tree of life, the fruit of the tree of life is the fish bread, indicating how this fruit of the tree of life is Jesus. I mean, a lot of people can say, you know, we take the communions, right, as believers of Christ, and that to say the communion, you know, is very powerful. People take the communion to, you know, have healing, to have their problems solved, kind of things, really having that and as part of daily bread, and as a reminder to ourselves that one bread, the suffering, you know, the beat down body of Jesus Christ for us as the bread, and the second one is wine, which is, you know, his blood that cleanses all sins. And here it talks about the fish bread, right? And how it relates to the fruit of the tree of life. And here it also says that shall not eat on the plain of animal or Adam. So the tree of life, which thou shall not eat. Okay, I think in this context, they're taking the tree of life is the same as like the tree of good and evil in a way. Technically, from what we know in the Bible, supposedly it should be two different trees. In here, somehow I think it's referring it to the same, because it's kind of referencing back to the Bible to tell Adam and Eve not to eat from the tree of good and evil. And here it also says how Adam, the meaning of Adam is actually the earth dust of the earth plane. So, I mean, for one, they don't believe in the Bible, right? So they don't believe Adam is a real person. And from what I remember, Adam has a lot of meaning. But even when I read here, the earth dust of the earth plane, somewhat reminds me of how, you know, God created humans from dust, in a way. Because, one, we're created in His image. Second one, our body, when we die, is returned to dust, right? So there's that, the cremation, is it called cremation? Yeah, cremation of human bodies when they die, burnt up and became dust, human dust. And the other one is the story of how God created woman out of Adam's rib cage, if I'm not wrong. But at the same time, there was one, something related to dust. So that's why that kind of relates to Adam again on that part. And in here, the next sentence, but to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the fruit of the tree of life. And this is a quotation here. So overcome. So basically, no one should eat it just plainly, maybe. But to him that overcometh, that God will allow to eat of the fruit of the tree of life. Because, here the sentence says, he saved it. Not so sure he saved it, but it returned to him in the cerebellum, the home of the spiritual man, the ego. Home of the spiritual man, the ego. So does that mean the ego equals spiritual man? I mean, a lot of people say ego is bad, right? But then at the same time, there's that part of our ego that makes us us in a way. Because there was a period of time in my life that I suppressed my ego for the sake of other people in a way. But I wasn't satisfied. So that's why I kind of brought back my ego. And of course, I don't want to become too narcissistic, too egoistic, because it's part of life, and it's really to be harmonious with people too, to make my life work better and easily. Yeah, so I don't really get this sentence a little bit in a way. But talking about how it returned to him in the cerebellum is, I from what I interpret from here, how I comprehend it, is that the fruit, which is Jesus, has been returned to the cerebellum. So the seed, right? The seed that comes out from our solar plexus, the manger, being brought all the way to the temple of to the pinnacle of the temple, which is a pineal gland. I think it's a journey as well. So it's like a journey goes up, because that's where the focus, consciousness, everything is at. And that is a possibility, but that's what I interpreted. And there's another paragraph here, the next paragraph, which is very short. The cerebellum is heart-shaped and called the heart in Greek. Thus, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I mean, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Is very powerful. It's something I believe too, because there are so many, even including in the Bible, that talks about it, how when we pray, we believe we received that already. Or, you know, if, you know, when we pray, God will give us what's in our desires, you know, believing that, you know, we have received it already. And I mean, there's times where I prayed like that, and it really happened. And also, it's also about, like, as above, so below, as he is, so are we. as within, so without. As within is so without is something I'm not too clear on. My English is English is not my first language too, so pardon me, but it's hard for me to understand it in details for that part. But yeah, so it's surprising here it says the cerebellum is heart-shaped, so it's called the heart in Greek. Because one thing that always strikes me, and it really disturbs my thinking, is in the Bible there's this term as well, not term actually, a phrase, a verse, that the heart is deceitful. And a lot of different interpretations, but it's something I always remember. So it's like, then how, like, how do I follow my heart? Or is it not really the heart, or is a different type of heart? So that's something I contemplate. But here, let's say if I put the heart in that context, where the heart refers to the cerebellum is deceitful, or the heart that I thought was the heart is deceitful. I haven't really gone into like the languages of it, so I don't remember, but at least that was something in my mind that exists in the Bible. Okay, let's go to the next paragraph. Actually, now like we're at 16 minutes. I'm wondering if we want to end earlier today, not 1 hour long. Mainly because I started early and we talked about this in a previous episode. Because most, like also the first part of the first few episodes, I talk about my background a lot or my state of mind. But, today we just, went through it. Not so much of an introduction. But yeah, let's see. Because there's a lot going on in my life and in my mind. I don't know, hopefully we get through it. Okay, so next paragraph. The bodily organ that men in their ignorance call heart is termed divider or pump in Greek and Hebrew. Our blood divider is not the button that we touch when we think, but it is the upper lobe of the cerebellum that vibrates thought. The lower lobe is the animal, mortal lobe, that governs the animal world. That section of the body below the solar plexus, called lower Egypt, natural body, kingdom of earth, Apollyon, the devil. And devil, when spelled backwards, is called lift, L-I-V-E-D. Satan, the Saturn, governs the bowels, etc. Okay, quite a lot to cover here. So first sentence about how the organ that men in their ignorance, maybe like what we just talked about, called the heart, is termed divider or pump in Greek and Hebrew. So, the heart where our actual heart, a cardiac, boom, 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 boom. It's in Hebrew and Greek, it's called, divider or pump. So, okay, interesting. So, our blood divider is not the button that we touch when we think. Our blood divider. What we call the heart now. It's not the button when we touch. It's not the button when we touch. That we touch when we think. But it is the upper lobe of cerebellum that vibrates a thought. Right now, where my mind is, there is a possibility, because it has to relate or be connected to the thought or to the brain on the how fast your heartbeat is. So when you have anxiety, your heart beats faster, right? When you're anxious, when you have stage fright, you feel it, and sometimes I feel that too. But it has to come from somewhere, and it starts from the thought. It has to, because that's where the vibration comes in. And so here, talking about how it's not the button, that we touch when we think, is quite possibly true. and the heart itself is just a divider and pump, but it's not the real heart of where all thoughts come from. You know, when we think about feelings and thoughts, most of the time it comes from the brain. Interesting. So, like, if the Bible says the heart is deceitful, there is a possibility where it means that it's the thought that is deceitful. You know how some people who have negative thoughts, but they can't change their thoughts that quickly? And those thoughts, those negative thoughts, you know, when we comfort a friend, you know, or someone close who's like that, it's almost similar where they can't control their thought. Their thoughts are deceiving them, you know, of like reality, of, you know, how they can move forward and things. Possibly. Interesting. Okay, so next one is talking about how the lower lobe of the... So this is talking about how the upper lobe of the cerebellum vibrates thought. And the lower lobe is the animal lobe. So it's a mortal lobe that governs the animal world. Okay, this part I'm not so sure for what he means by what he meant by animal world. And then he talked about how this is the section below the solar plexus. Okay, so it could be talking about how the lower lobe governs anything lower the solar plexus, which is the first, second, third chakras, the reproductive organs, the navel. Yeah, I forgot the other one. The sacral plexus, if I remember correctly. Okay, and it's called the Lower Egypt. Okay, you know when they put the name of a country in it, it reminds me a lot about how there were some talks about, you know, like Revelation, the end of the world, and where it's gonna come from and everything else, and talking about how demonology as well, the hierarchy of the demons, how it plays out in like Greek, Germany, what, Russia, France, US, da da da. But from what I know, the Revelation talks a lot about Europe. So at Europe to Egypt, Turkey, Israel, Jordan, maybe, I don't remember, but there's something there. So talking about this Lower Egypt, natural body, kingdom of earth, and the devil. Just one thing to point out as well, there were some theories, or like archaeologists and like people who examined the Bible, talking about how when Adam and Eve were exiled from the Garden of Eden, the real actual Garden of Eden was somewhere supposedly Central Asia or Europe, somewhere there, mainly because they were exiled to the east, so going to the east side somehow. But yeah, so there's that theory too. And in here I'm very surprised that I never really noticed the devil, when it's spelled backwards, is lift, you know, LIVED. Interesting. And Satan, and here it talks about how it's Saturn, the planet Saturn. Is it pronounced Saturn? Saturn. It governs the bowels. I don't really know the meaning. It didn't really explain here, but interesting. Okay, let's go to the next paragraph. Fire and brimstone, the lake of fire, comes from the fact that sulfur, brimstone, is the prime factor in generating the rate of motion called heat. And overeating develops a surplus of sulfur. Interesting. This one, I'm not entirely too sure. Okay, brimstone, yes, sulfur, generating the rate of motion called heat. And overeating develops surplus of sulfur. Let's see if I just do a fast Google check. Overeating, surplus sulfur, because of course there's inflammation, right? And sometimes I was like, huh, how does our body get inflamed? Let's see. It's more of a, here I'm reading, it increases the risk of belching and acid reflux. There's also something called sulfur burps, which are burps that have rotten egg smell. It occurs when hydrogen sulfide gas is produced during the digestive process. Okay, sulfide gas. Sulfur is broken down into hydrogen sulfide by gut bacteria, but it needs to have sulfur in the beginning then. It's either that or it's mainly talking about acid reflux. That's possible. Is it? Yeah, or before everything, you have to consume sulfur beforehand. But okay, let's go to the next paragraph. The seed, born every 28 and one half days, making 13 in 365 days, that is 13 months, remains 2.5 days in Bethlehem, house of bread. Then is carried up the pneumogastric nerve or the vagus nerve, and across the medulla oblongata, and entered the cerebellum to remain 2.5 days. Thus, when Jesus was about 12 years old, he appeared in the temple teaching the doctors. One, I don't know whether those are doctors, but it's probably referring to the like Pharisees in the temple. Okay, so the seed born every 28 and one half days, making 13 365 days, 13 months, remains 2.5 days in Bethlehem. 13 months, making 13 months, remains 2.5 days in Bethlehem, house of bread. Bethlehem means house of bread. Interesting. So one thing talking about 13 months is something I also kind of was looking at, is that have you guys heard of the 13th month? So no, 13th zodiac, sorry. The why is it called the Ornifus or something like that. Let's see. 13th zodiac. It's between Libra and Scorpio, if I'm not wrong. Okay, here. Ophiuchus. Ophiuchus is one of the 13 constellations that cross the ecliptic. It has sometimes been suggested as the 13th sign of the zodiac. However, this confuses zodiac or astrological signs with constellations. So it's somewhat of a zodiac. And let's see, I think it's between what it says, November 29th to December 18th. It's either between Scorpio and the Sagittarius or between Libra and Scorpio. I forgot, and I don't remember the number, like the dates well, but it's, you know, that's somewhat that. So that was interesting. And let's see. And yeah, somewhat some people mentioned how the 13th zodiac could resembles, you know, or symbolizes Jesus. And here, talking about how in 365 days there remains 2.5 days in Bethlehem, and then it's carried up, right? So every every month, in a way. The seed was born, and then it's carried up through the vagus gastric nerve and across the medulla oblongata. Actually, I don't really know about this medulla oblongata. Let me do a search. Medulla oblongata. Let's see. It's near the brain. It's actually the one that connects the spinal cord and the brain itself. Here it says, yeah, it's the connection between the brainstem and the spinal cord. Okay, it carries a lot of, you know, centers, comprises cardiovascular, respiratory regulations, nerves, you know, other things. Okay, interesting. Okay, now I kind of know about that. And then let's see what else is mentioned here. Okay, so it's across, okay, to up to the brain stem and enters the cerebellum to remain 2.5 days. So that's where they spent it, and 2.5 days. And that's why they talk about how this represents how Jesus was about 12 years old. 2.5 days. 2.5 days is 2.5. Is it connected? Is it 2.5 days and 12 years old? I don't know. I mean, when it comes to numbers, not too sure. But okay, it'll be mentioned in the next paragraph. Okay, here. So the age of puberty is about 12. Then the firstborn seed appears, and the sensation caused by its vibration tempts the native on the lower plane to do the things that slays it, which is fully explained in Genesis by the serpent, sex desire, tempting Adam and Eve, allegorical characters. From Krishna to Moses and Jesus, serpents and pharaohs and Herods have striven to slay the firstborn. I don't know about Krishna yet, but Moses, firstborn, yes. Serpents, pharaohs, Herod. Herod is the king when Jesus was born, you know, trying to slay the firstborn. Okay, let's see. Age of puberty, 12 years old. Yeah, he was around 12 to 13 then. That's where he appeared in the temple. And yes, there was no story before that, and after that. It was only mentioned when he was like a little boy. He was giving all this knowledge, you know, to the Pharisees, and they were astonished that, you know, this boy knows so much. And so here, the firstborn seed. But why talks about the firstborn is my question. I mean, it's just a born seed. Why does it have to be firstborn? And sensation caused by vibration, it tempts to do the same thing that slays it. So the firstborn seed tempted to slay the firstborn, or the firstborn seed was in danger, that like the body or some sensations were tempted to destroy this seed in our body. And of course, you know, this book, some surprising, it talks about how the serpent represents the sex drive, and it tempted Adam and Eve. Of course, they believe like Adam and Eve were allegories. Okay, interesting. Let's go to the next paragraph. From the age of 12 to 30 in the life of Jesus, nothing is recorded, as I mentioned. And for 12 refers to puberty, and 30 or 3 means physical, mental, and spiritual. This body, flesh, or soul, or fluids, and spirits, the ego. Okay, here, interestingly, 12, puberty. 30 or 3 represents, you know, like physical, mental, spiritual. Physical, which is the body or the flesh, or mental, which is the soul or fluids in our body, or spirit, which is the ego. It's surprising how it talk about spirit as the ego. Okay. Puberty. Actually, there's also one question, because when I think about it, it's about human body, right? But it's like, who fucking designed the human body? Of course, you know, everyone believes it's the universe, great creator, great architect, God. But that's where a lot of the scientists are unable to explain. You know, it's like, it's there, but they can't explain why and how. I mean, okay, maybe religions aren't able to explain as well, but if I were to say about how God created it in his own image, and the fact that God is like all perfect God, like he knows everything, he created all systems, then in a way that's one of the possible reasons of like the creation of life. If like, if small atoms or stuff, you know, created by themselves, I mean, plants, okay, you know, they can live, but of course if bad things happen, then they can't survive on their own. They needed, you know, time. Or even when we think about like steel, you know, metal ores, it's only through human intervention that, you know, we're able to make use of them, and then they have like advantageous, you know, they have their good benefits being used. But if not for that, not for that research, no one knows. No one knew. Somehow, yeah, need to go through a lot of things. Interesting. Let's go to the next paragraph. Breath is translated soul over 500 times in the Bible. Therefore, soul is precipitated air or spirit, which may be lost in the physical desire and expression, or waste or sin, you know, this to fall short, or saved by regeneration. Read Matthew 17:28, also first epistle of John 3:9. So at the age of 30, Jesus the seed began to preach the body, soul, and spirit. And as the seed was or is descending the spinal cord, the substance of which is symbolized by a formula of characters, I-O-H-N, as we symbolize water by H2O, it was baptized of John, not by John. So it's synonyms, Saul, John, Christ, or even gold, or Jordan, or word, Lord, oil, ointment. Okay, interesting. So breath is translated soul over 500 times in the Bible. Breath of life, right? Breath of life, soul. I've always thought soul was more spirit, actually. Mainly because in the past I've heard, of course we are, you know, body, mind, and soul. Oh, okay, when you talk about body, mind, and soul, then soul equals to like spirit. But it's how we word it out, right? How we word it out, whether the mind is the soul or the spirit is the spirit. I think for me it's always been everything's interconnected. I confuse myself too. But spirit and soul used to be different. Somewhat from what I learned, one from a Christian video about how, oh, the soul is the one that's attacked by demons, you know, but the spirit is not. The spirit is pure. And that's why I always like confuse those two. Or I know, you know, our minds are playing tricks on us. And that's how we have to control, right? Our minds. But our spirits are different as well. Okay, so if they talk about that, oh, in here actually, yeah, the next paragraph says, the next sentence says, therefore soul is precipitated air or spirit. So breath is soul, right? But breath, when we breathe, is precipitated air, and that's why it's spirit. It may be lost in the physical desire and expression. So physical desire and expression is here considered as the waste or sin. Our physical desire as and it's lost, you know, our breath, our soul is lost, and basically to fall short or saved by regeneration. It says here, read Matthew 17:28. So let's go through that. Open my Bible. Let's see. Matthew 17, is it like the whole chapter? Yeah. Oh man, that's long. Okay, I will skim through and then let you know what. Because let's, okay, here 17, talking about the transfiguration. Transfiguration, 6 days, Jesus took him, Peter, James. His appearance changed dramatically. In their presence, his face shone with heavenly glory like the sun, and behold, Moses, Elijah appeared to them, talking to Jesus. Peter began telling Jesus, you know, to make one sacred tents for you, Moses and Elijah. And then a voice came from the cloud, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased and delighted, listen to him. Disciples heard it, they were terrified. Jesus came, touched them, don't be afraid, and don't tell anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. Disciples asked, then why Elijah come first? Elijah come and will sort all things, but Elijah has come already. They didn't recognize him. Son of Man gonna suffer at their hands. Disciples understood, you know, about what he had spoken to them about John the Baptist. And then next paragraph, the demoniac. Okay, when they approached, a man came kneeling, Lord, have mercy on my son, he's a lunatic, suffers terribly, you know, he often falls into fire, often into water, brought him to your disciples, they weren't able to heal him. Jesus answered, you unbelieving, perverted generation, how long could put up with you, bring him to me. Jesus rebuked it, the demon came out of him, the boy was healed at once. Jesus came, disciples came and asked, why couldn't we drive it? And then Jesus said, because of your little faith, a lack of trust and confidence in the power of God. So I tell you, if you have living faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here and there, and you know, if it's by God's will, it will be moved. Nothing will be impossible for you. But this kind of demon does not go out except by prayer and fasting. When they were gathering in Galilee, Jesus said, Son of Man is going to be betrayed and handed over to the men, to his enemies. They will kill him, be raised from death to life on third day. They were grieved. And then next paragraph, the tribute money. When they arrive at Capernaum, text here, do you have shekel? Peter said, yes. What do you think, Simon? Da 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 da. From strangers. Da 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 da. So that we don't offend them. Da 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 da. Take it and give it to them. Pay the temple tax for you and me. Okay. Next chapter 18. Rank in the kingdom. That time disciples came. Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called. You know. Unless you repent, change your inner self, your old way of thinking, live changed lives, become like children, trusting, humble and forgiving, you'll never enter the kingdom of God. So anyone who humbles himself like this child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And you know, here, whoever receives and welcomes one child like this in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe me to stumble and sin by leading him away from my teaching, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone. And next paragraph, stumbling blocks. So judgment is coming to the world because of stumbling blocks, temptations to sin. It's inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to the person, you know, on whose account come. And if your hand, your foot, cut it off, throw it away, remove yourself from source of temptation. If your eye, do it, remove yourself. See that you do not despise or think less of these little ones, for I say to you that there are angels in heavens and you know are in presence of, continually look upon the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. And next paragraph, 99 plus 1. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep, one of them get lost, will he not leave the 99 on the mountain and go search for that one that is lost? So I assure to you, you know, he rejoices more over one that is lost rather than the 99 that didn't get lost. So it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones be lost. Next paragraph, discipline and prayer. If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens and pay attention to you, you have won back your brother. If he doesn't listen to you, take along you with you one or two others, so that every word may be confirmed by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he pays no attention, you know, refusing to listen and obey, tell it to the church. Tell it to the church, and if he refuses to listen, let him be to you as a Gentile unbeliever or a tax collector. So whatever you bind on earth shall already be bound to you in heaven, and whatever you loose shall already be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two believers agree about anything they ask, it'll be done for them. Forgiveness. Next paragraph. Then Peter came to him, asked, Lord, how many times will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Let it go up to 7 times. I say to you, not up to 70 times 7. Therefore, kingdom of heaven is like king, you know, who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. If he owns money, you know, a lot of money, da 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 da, and if his master was moved, you know, with his compassion, you know, if you know he kneels down really canceling the debt, but he did wrong with other people, you know, to pay back what you owed, and it's kind of coming back to him, the master call him wicked, you know, I forgave you but you didn't forgive, you know, those under you, so as I had mercy, you know, it's like then have to be turned over to the torturers until he paid all he owned. So Heavenly Father will also do the same to you if you guys don't forgive your brother from your heart. And next, chapter 19, concerning divorce. So when Jesus had finished saying all this thing, he went to Galilee, da 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 da. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason? And then here Jesus replied, for this reason, you guys never read the Bible. When a man leaves his father and mother and joined with his wife, they become one flesh. They're no longer two, they're one flesh. So what God has joined together, let no one separate. The Pharisees said to him, then why did Moses command us to give certificate of divorce, send her away? Because your hearts were hard and stubborn. Moses permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it has not been this way. I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality marries another woman who commits adultery. The disciples said, if a relationship of a man with his wife is like this, isn't it better not to marry? Well, not all men can accept this statement, but only those who have the capacity to receive it has been given. For there are eunuchs who have been born that, you know, that way from his mother's womb, making them incapable of consummating a marriage. And there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by men. And there are eunuchs who have made themselves, you know, personally for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. He who is able to accept this, you know, let him accept it. Jesus, next paragraph, Jesus blesses little children, you know, brought back, you know, prayed for them, leave these children alone, don't forbid them from coming to me. Next paragraph, the rich young ruler. So talking about how, you know, teacher, what essentially good thing shall I do to obtain eternal life, that is eternal salvation in the Messiah's kingdom? Jesus answered, why are you asking me? Yeah, there's only one good, and if you wish to enter, keep the commandments. He asked, which commandments? You know, you shall not murder, adultery, steal, false testimony, honor your father and mother, love your neighbor as yourself. If you wish to be perfect, that is spiritual maturity, go sell what you have and give the money to the poor. You have treasure in heaven, so come follow me. And when the young man heard, he left grief and distress, for he owned much property and had many possessions. Jesus said to his disciple, I assure you not, you know, like, assure you not. Like, it's very difficult for a rich man, you know, who clings to possessions to enter kingdom of heaven. So again, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of needle than for a rich man. And with people it is impossible, but with God it is all things are possible. Next paragraph, the disciples are reward. Man, this is long. Verse 19 to 28. Fuck. Okay, I'm not gonna read everything. Damn, I already read like 3 chapters. Oh, it's longer than I expected. Okay, you guys read on your own. but I'll skim to. I mean, basically, isn't it talking about like the life of Jesus, right? Like before he died, before he was crucified. But yeah, it's talking about how by age of 30, Jesus, the seed began to preach the body, soul, spirit. Seed is descending the spinal cord. Okay, it's descending the spinal cord. So it's going up. The substance of which is symbolized by a formula, characters I-O-H-N. I mean, here, if you see I-O-H-N, it's like John, right? So that's why they talk about how, yeah, baptized by John, this John, you know, baptized by water, not by John, or something in our body, John. Okay, kind of weird, but and this baptism is like salt, John, Christ, gold, or Jordan, which is the Lord oil ointment. Okay, and then next paragraph talks about the baptism. It says here, baptize is from the Greek bapto, the effect of two chemicals when they unite and produce force that neither possessed singly. Effect of two chemicals. Here, the seed immersed in the oil, John, was so increased in power that the Spirit of God descended like a dove, and a voice out of heaven said, "This is my beloved Son," etc. Seed immersed in oil. Where was Jesus baptized? Was it Galilee or Jordan? Because if it's Jordan, then there's the word oil. And effect of two chemicals, almost saying how, let's say if it's in our body here, right, the seed is immersed in oil, immersed in Jordan. Where is the Jordan of the body? Because we did have, like, in part one there was something, the river of Jordan, which is symbolized in the spinal cord. Well, and that's why it's increased in power. Increased in power. What is power? It's like the function, you know, right? Because eventually it talks about how it feels like, you know, the Spirit of God descended like a dove. But, you know, I believe in all, right? So that's the scientific part of it. Jordan means the... Okay, next paragraph. Jordan means the descender. Dove, D-O-V-E, to dive, a diver, okay? Thus, Jesus, the seed, was the Son of Man, the carpenter or builder, until it was baptized in the precious ointment that was secreted from the Most High, which is the brain, and descended the spinal cord, and was thus given power to start on its journey to Jerusalem, God's city of peace, and to be crucified at the place of skull, then remain 2.5 days in the tomb, and on the third day ascend to the Father. So here, seed is Son of Man. I mean, it was born out of our solar plexus, considered the Son of Man, okay? And he was a carpenter or a builder until he was baptized. Until what? And before it went along through the spinal cord, Jordan, River of Jordan, in the precious ointment that was secreted from the Most High, from the brain. It has to be secreted from the brain first to be baptized. And it descended the spinal cord. It went down. Oh no, I think basically it's talking about how the seed is a carpenter and builder until it went all the way up to the Most High, and like, yeah, there's along with the baptism, and then it descended down the spinal cord to give power to start its journey to peace. Jerusalem is considered the city of peace. And to be crucified, eventually go up again to the cerebellum, place of skull, and remain there 2.5 days in the tomb. And then the third day sent. Okay, it's either that or it doesn't go up. It's still on the journey up. It has to be baptized somewhere. But something that is an ointment that is secreted from the brain before it goes through the spinal cord. Interesting. Okay. Oh no, it's at 56 minutes already. I read too much of the Bible, 3 chapters. Gosh, I'm so sorry. But only one more paragraph, and then we're off to part 3. Okay, let's do this. As this seed consumes its force every 28.5 days, and another born first comes out of the solar plexus, Bethlehem. Oh, it refers the solar plexus as Bethlehem. We see why he was or is a sacrifice of our sins. Also, we see that as this seed taking on the Christ oil is enabled to reach the pineal gland and cause it to vibrate at a rate that heals all manner of diseases, that the statement the blood of Christ cleanses from all sin or deficiencies of this falling short of substance is literally true. Okay, break it down a little bit. So this seed consumes its force, you know, every month, and another born first. Okay, this one is funny. Another born first comes out. So so this seed, it has already, you know, finished its one cycle, right? And then another one was born, right? It's every cycle. So it was born first, coming out from a solar plexus, considered as Bethlehem. Oh, I'm surprised. Okay, and then that's why it's called the sacrifice of our sins. So this seed is taking on the Christ oil, is enabled, you know, to reach the pineal gland, and it has already vibrated. So every cycle, it's already vibrated and heal all manners. And so it has cleansed from all sin, and then another one comes out every month. Talking about how, because every month, you know, once it cleanses, and then there's another one because there's deficiency, thus also known as falling short of substance. Okay, I'm pretty deep, but every cycle. I'm not so sure how the timing and like the calculation of the time works, because of course, you know, it's always about renewing our mind, but I don't know about how it talks about every month, like every 28.5 days. I mean, for a woman, you know, we have like menstruations, right? It's almost like considered every month, but for men, they don't. From what I remember reading, it's like for men it's like 22 days or something like that. So I don't really know how this calculation really make more sense. Probably have to do a lot of reading. But yeah, finally, that's the end of part 2, and we're really like going to part 3, which is, wow, even longer. But yeah, I think it's gonna be very interesting to know. I mean, there's a lot. Even right now, I'm going through a lot as well, a lot of personal issues, especially with families, work. I think it's, you know, common things that a lot of people always think about. But yeah, just like reading these things and really finding truth as well and learning about more about myself. And that's why I started doing a lot more meditation. In a way, I believe it a little bit, mainly because of the scientific fact I experienced it in my body, but not the details of it. So it's pretty interesting. And again, I believe all things are related somewhat. So I'll take it, you know, with a pinch of salt and see how, you know, things go through things and how it connects, because the Bible is somewhat there. Not just one person wrote it, multiple people wrote it, you know. And of course it was selected deliberately, but you know, everyone knows there's some truth to it. Actually, most truth. I mean, there's a lot like we can learn from it. And you know, God always makes even the bad things do become good in a way. Even though I was just watching a YouTube video about how this con artist, you know, lied his way, scammed a lot of people and became in a way successful until he was caught. But yet the things he did at that time, at that moment in time, helped other people. That's why he was able to scam people. But it's just a matter of like the people coming to their senses and, you know, finding out things. But in a way, it's also like, if we don't fall, we don't meet those failures, we never learn. You know, it's like a kid who's naive only until they experience the real life, you know, they know more. But yeah, a lot of philosophical things. But yeah, you know, we're at 1 hour now. It's been great. I like talking about these things. I hope to make it more consistent too. It's like a time off for myself, you know, reading this. I like reading it, but I don't get to share my thoughts, like, you know, saying it out loud, like here. So that's something, you know, I cherish, and that's why I kind of created this in a way, just to bring thoughts out there and yeah, maybe, you know, some of you out there or some people also have the same thoughts as me. I think a lot of people do have. It's just how we communicate it and how we go through life as well. But yeah, thank you for listening. See you next time. Bye.